for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Right, P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday morning, August 31st, 1984. Labor Day weekend deliverance seminar being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Glenn and Irma Miller are the speakers of the morning. Irma and I will be ministering this morning and tomorrow morning and one service Sunday. And in these times that we'll be ministering, we basically will be telling you about how we came this away and things that have happened along the way that have brought us to the knowledge and the understanding of the things that are taking place here in the campground and in other places in our lives, and some of the areas that the Lord is beginning to show us about the kingdom. We are living in the hour of the transition of the kingdom. Well, if you don't understand that, you never heard that before, but we're living in that hour. And I don't understand it. My mind doesn't comprehend it. But I'm studying and grasping for everything I can find about the kingdom. Because God is raising up a people who's laying upon them the responsibility of the kingdom. And unless we study and understand and have a knowledge of the kingdom, we are not fit for the kingdom. And we need to have that knowledge and understanding, because upon our shoulders will rest the responsibility of the reign of the kingdom. Now that's an awesome responsibility to say upon us, but it is a truth. For we are now living in that closing hour of the time of grace and lapping over into the time of the area of the age of the kingdom. And in the age of the kingdom, the responsibility of the rule of the kingdom will rest upon God's people to rule and to reign for Him in the kingdom. God will give unto us the responsibility of rulership over the nations and over the areas and the communities and the states and the towns of not only America, but all the world. And I wonder which one of us today can stand forth and with the word of the Lord, take the word of the Lord and be able to rule in the name of Jesus, in His authority, and know the word so that you can rule and reign. I am not able at this hour to do that. My heart desires and seeks to know the word of the Lord so that that ability will rest upon me with the anointing of the Holy Ghost. You can say, yes, God can move on you in a moment of time and do it. He can do it. He has done it for others in the past, but that's not His way of doing things. His way is that we will know the word and we'll have it hid in our hearts, and we will be able to stand forth and say, it is written, and thus is the word of the Lord, and it shall come to pass because we speak it into being in the name of the Lord. We shall stand forth and we shall be God's judges in the land to rule and to reign in righteousness. And that's an awesome thing. That's an awesome responsibility. But yet that responsibility is beginning to come into realization in the hearts of many of God's people. And as that realization begins to come and the awesomeness of it and the responsibility of it, we need to know the Word of God and have it hid in our hearts so that we have the capabilities within us to stand in Jesus' name and say, Satan, I bind your powers over that community in that area, and I take authority over it. And in Jesus' name, I put into operation the word of the Lord, and I reign over that community according to the authority of God's word. And then we do so. And in that authority and the word that we have to rule in, it isn't the Old Testament or the New Testament. It is one book. One book. It is a book that is one book, whole and complete. And in that book is the law of God. And by that law, we must learn and know and be able to stand forth and to use it with authority as the word of the Lord, as a sword, declaring, thus is the word of God. And that's where we stand today. We stand just as Jesus stood between grace and law. Today we stand between grace and judgment, or grace and the kingdom. We stand in that same overlapping period of time. I don't know how long it'll be, but we have begun to come in to the area of the overlapping of the two kingdoms, or the two ages. And we're in that area today. Just as Jesus, when he was born, came in to an overlapping time of law and grace. And then the time of grace wasn't fulfilled until Jesus came forth from the tomb. But he lived for 30-some years in an overlapping period. And we, at this hour, have moved into that time of the overlapping period between grace and the kingdom. And we need to come into the realization and the understanding of that so that we prepare ourselves for what lies ahead of us when God's judgments come in the land, because God says that they will, and he says when his judgments come in the land, then will people learn to know God. And when they come, when we know the word of the Lord, those judgments will have no effect upon us because we will be part of that judgment. Instead of being that judgment affecting us, we will affect the others because of that judgment that's in the land. Because we will be partially the administrators of that judgment. I'm way over a lot of your heads. And you say, I don't understand. He's gone off. Well, the Lord will bring the revelation. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. God's kingdom is coming. It's coming. It's coming. And I declare that I shall walk into it. In Jesus' name. In health and strength. Declaring that Jesus Christ is Lord. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. I only got up here to say that Irma and I were going to be talking. That was all. Well, Irma, come on.
I whispered to Sister Thomas, even with his paper towel in his pocket, he's going right into the kingdom. He's always prepared. That is true. We have been taught and frightened over the tribulation and the great tribulation. We will administer the tribulation. When the fear is all gone out of you, you'll start to see. I wasn't going to talk about this, and I don't think I am, but I'm going to say one thing, that there have been bars open in this town, and the saints of God of this town have prayed those things right out of town. We have too long allowed every kind of sin to come into our cities, and we've cried and whined and done nothing about it. But there was a bar came into the mall, and it had the audacity to make one whole wall glass. So every time you walked down the hall, and they had a platform, and they all sat around this platform drinking at the bar. And one day, it wasn't very long. That thing wasn't in there very long until the owner absconded with the money and left, and I don't think they know where he is yet. It's just sitting up there. See, that's tribulation for those people. But we do not have to allow those sinful things. We do not have to allow homosexuality in our churches, in our groups, in the Christians, because there is a way out of that. And Jesus made the way. Jesus made the way. He is the way. He is the way. Hallelujah. Let's turn to the book of Joel. That's one of my favorite. That's an end time book. The very last verse of the second chapter of Joel. Can you hear me all right in the back? Glenn says I fade out lower and lower. Well, I've got to get my youth back. My daughter used to tell me when she saw the first gray hairs, Mother, you're fading. The last verse of the second chapter of Joel. Has everybody got it? And it shall come to pass that whoever shall call on the name of the Lord. Who's a whoever? We're all whoever's, aren't we? Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Is that simple? Do you understand? As a whoever calls. Now, you have to call. You're not going to get delivered by osmosis or something like that. It's going to have to be your calling out. You're wanting to be delivered. You're saying the Lord's Prayer, deliver me from all evil. That's how deliverance is going to come to all of you or any of us. For in Mount Zion, that's the high places of the Lord, the high place of the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord, and in Jerusalem, in the church, peace, shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Recently, we were invited over to Oral Roberts when the pastors and ministers were invited in about 3 weeks ago. And Brother Roberts talked about the remnant. It's the first time I've ever heard him talk on the remnant. But he told the ministers there, we are part of the remnant. And start believing that you're part of the remnant. Do you want to be part of the remnant? And what was it? Lily Johnson, didn't she say that a remnant is just a little piece of material, but it's always at the end of the bolt. So the remnant is at the end of this age. You see that? You women who sew, you know about remnants. It's at the beginning and the end. And we are coming in. Now, some people don't want to be a part of the remnant. Well, if you don't want to, you don't have to, you know. But I want to be a part of the remnant. And it's a subject that we all need to study more. But in Mount Zion, in Jerusalem, there shall be deliverance, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Now, the Lord has called Glenn and I to be in the deliverance ministry. We didn't know anything about it until 1965, I guess. I was a preacher's daughter, but I didn't know it. I thought the devil was only in the dance hall and in the bars. That's all I ever knew about the devil. But once I heard a sermon on deliverance, I could see way back from the early 30s on how the devil had just whipped Pentecostal people around. And we didn't know what to do. And my daddy didn't know what to do. We all prayed and prayed in tongues. We prayed, fasted. But you can pet a snake, but he'll bite you every time. You've got to cast him out. You've got to cast him out and get rid of him. Now let's go over to Obadiah. Just about two books over. A little teeny book before Jonah. It only has one chapter. 17th verse, but upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness. We had lots of holiness preaching in years gone by, but God is demanding holiness in the inward parts. It's not so much how you dress or how you cut your hair, it's what's inside of you. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth is going to speak, so whatever is inside is going to come out, good or bad. But upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness. That's a direct statement. God's going to see to it that there is holiness. Now, we can believe that there's going to be holiness, but we must move into these things experientially. Theory is wonderful. Research is wonderful. They can research an airplane for years, but until they actually build it and it actually flies experientially, that's when it tells is it going to work or not. Experientially, we must move into deliverance. Now let's go to, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possession. Amen. We are that house. In the Old Testament, God's people are called Israelites. In the New Testament, God's people are called the church. They're all one of the same. Now, you can try to fathom that little country over there, that's where all the Israelites live, all the Jacobites live, but that's not true. We are the Israel of God. We are God's people. Now, let's go down to the 21st verse. Now, this may shake you, but it shouldn't shake you because you read your Bible. And saviors shall come upon Mount Zion. What is a savior? A deliverer is a savior. And they're coming up all over. I remember the first time the Thomases came in here. You were pastoring an Assembly of God church, weren't you? And that's my heritage. And I blessed them. And they came in, and I don't remember who the deliverance preachers were that were here. Who was here? Mendelian Corridor And we were having mass deliverance services. Now, I think all of you do very good by coming in here and sitting in here if you've never heard about deliverance before, because it really frightened me the first time I ever saw it. I ran out of the building. I couldn't handle that. But saviors shall come upon Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. The kingdom shall be the Lord's. Now, we have too long imagined that we're all going to fly away to heaven and play our harps, and we don't have to do much except just fly away and go to heaven. That isn't what I'm after this morning. I'm after becoming a savior on Mount Zion, or a deliverer, and I know all of you are. All of you, how many have Jesus in them? Who is the great deliverer? He's Jesus. It's Jesus in us that's going. It's the anointing that's going to break the yoke. It's not all of us. It's the anointing within us that's going to break every yoke of the enemy. And that is why we must be filled with the Spirit. Now, I know that we cast the enemy out by the name of Jesus, through the blood of Jesus and the name of Jesus. Because in the First Baptist Church in Van Nuys, California, I wouldn't have believed it before. But you see, we all have to see things to believe it, it seems like. It's hard to believe things that we don't see, and we usually fight what we don't know about. We fight it. But at the First Baptist Church in Van Nuys, it's a big church. I don't know, they used to have 3,000 or 4,000 members. They probably got 6,000 or 8,000, 10,000 now. But the pastor was teaching on the blood of Jesus. And if there's anything the enemy cannot stand, is the blood of Jesus, because that's his downfall. And a little 85-pound girl, young person, teenager, I guess, or maybe a little older, the demons begin to manifest in her. Well, the church didn't know anything about it, and the poor deacons ran up, you know, and tried, and she knocked a few down and threw them around. And the pastor surmised that might be a devil. And so the following, they carried her out. They finally got her out. You know, it took a whole bunch of the men. You know how they all march down the aisle and walk people out that are acting up. And the next Sunday, the pastor got up and he said, "I'm sorry to tell you people that last week I did not believe in demons, but this week I do." And he preached an 8-week teaching every Thursday night. My sister-in-law told me about it. Every Thursday night he preached on how to be delivered from demons. And after 8 weeks, he was ousted out of the church, because the majority of the church do not want to be the remnant. They don't want any part of it. And so they just got rid of him and sent him somewhere else. But I, for one, I was afraid of it at first. But once you experience it, you want more and more and more. And the Lord wants us to have more and more, because the more evil spirit is wind, breath, the more of that gets out of us, the more the Holy Spirit can come in. And every time we have a deliverance service here, we try at the end, after they've been relieved of a lot of spirits, to let them fill back up with the Holy Spirit, so there's no vacuum in there. Because these enemies, they're not diehards. They don't leave you alone. They'll try to come back with 7 more wicked, but you have to stand up against them. And if you're filled with the Spirit, the Bible says, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourself, singing spiritual songs. Like Nina was singing this morning, and Pat, wasn't that beautiful singing? And that is what builds us up in the most holy faith, and praying in the Spirit. So I am glad that we know how to pray in tongues. Now, a lot of people cannot pray in tongues. I was shocked over at Brother Roberts when he asked how many people did not have a freedom to speak in tongues, and it looked about like, how many you think stood up, Glenn? About 150 preachers, ministers stood up. And he said to them, now, he gave them a little instruction and began, and he is so blessed with, I've watched him at the Four Gospel Businessmen when hundreds of people would receive the Holy Spirit, and Brother Roberts is certainly blessed with the gift of ministering the Holy Spirit to people. And so he had them all praying in tongues in a few minutes, and then he stopped and he said, "Now, how many want to interpret?" And the young man down in front put up his hand, and so he ministered to him a few minutes, I don't know if he laid hands on him or not, but he instructed him, and he told the man to speak in tongues, and the man spoke in a beautiful tongue, and then he told him to interpret it, and he just sailed away. It just went on until Brother Roberts got tickled. And Brother Roberts said, do you know how many times I pray in tongues and interpret during a day? He maybe always hasn't done it, but now the chips are down where he has to really pray. And he's a wonderful person, and I hope none of you ever condemn him or talk against him. He is a wonderful man of God, and he says, I pray in tongues at least 50 times a day and interpret to get the leading of the Lord. Well, how many of us pray in tongues 10 times a day and interpret and ask for the Holy Spirit to speak out through us the leading of the Lord? You see, we can learn a lot from every part of the body of Christ. Every part you can learn something. And I hope this morning that you will get something. Now, I'm going to speak just a little bit on the occult. So I want you to turn to Deuteronomy, because the occult is one of your biggest problems. And I know a lot of you have had a lot of teaching, 18th chapter of Deuteronomy, about the occult. But there is at least 30%, a third of you, I would say, that are new here, and I don't know exactly where you're at. I have, by the gifts of discerning of spirits, I can see that many of you came for help and need much help, and we want you to have help. Now, this afternoon at 2:30, we'll have another teaching and deliverance service, and the Thomases will be teaching, and tonight, and then tomorrow, and Brother Worley will be here tomorrow night, and then he'll speak twice Sunday and once Monday and tomorrow night. So we'll have four services with Brother Worley. He's flying in from California. He's been out there, so we need to be praying for Brother Worley for strength. It takes a lot of strength to pray. Do you know that? That's why people don't want to do it, because you have to exert yourself. You have to put everything into it, spirit, soul, and body, when you intercede and pray for people. Well, let's look at Deuteronomy 18 and the 9th verse. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. Now, the children of Israel are our examples. Corinthians tells us that. Whatever happened to them, we can expect to happen to us. Now, I hope the Lord doesn't make a big hole and drop several thousand people into it because of their rebellion, but we pray for the mercy of God, because this is a rebellious nation right now, and God is working rebellion out of all of we Christians. And when we get set straight, then we can set the world. We can deliver the world. But you cannot deliver anybody when you've got the same thing in you. If you're drinking your cocktails, you don't need to be trying to pray for another drunk. It's not going to work. You can yell in the name of Jesus till you're blue in the face, but the devil's going to laugh at you. 9th verse. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. Well, after World War II, we've all started this nation has come into more of the occult than we ever knew before because of world travel. Do you realize that? World travel has brought in demonic powers into the United States that we never knew about. We never had to worry over Eastern religions, drugs. I mean, to any extent, until after the 1940s, early 40s, when our boys begin to marry heathen women. And when they begin to bring in their relics and their souvenirs from foreign countries, from the heathen nations, then that was when America began to go down. You think about it for a little while. We shall not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or daughter to pass through the fire, or that uses divination, that's soothsaying, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch. That's all kinds of magic, mediums, hypnotists, and all of that. Or a charmer is a hypnotist, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. We had a man that came here, and he used to be and go to a lot of seances. And he told us that the mediums, they would start to chant and do whatever they do at a seance. And he said they all put out their hands and waited. Just waited until a token came into their hand. It might be a pearl, a diamond. It might be somebody's diamond off of their chest of drawers. A fallen angel or demon would come and bring them a token, and then they'd know they made contact. Now, that's pretty weird and way out, but this man told me that. There's a lot of things that's going on. That's right. That's why there's many things going on. You heard last night how the demons could drive a car. Brother Thomas gave that example. And make people do things they don't want to do. That's when your will is totally taken over. Now, everybody in here, I presume, their will is not taken over by the enemy totally. We all have a will. We can, it's like a, I call it a poker that goes right down through the middle of us. We can either get on Jesus' side, the Jesus part that's in us, or we can get on the fleshly side or the part where Satan can live. And we have to make up our mind. Do I will to do thy will, O God, or do I will to do the ways of my flesh, or the will of my flesh, or the will of the enemy? Now, the enemy will try to get you to operate through your carnal mind. That's where he hits most people, in their carnal mind. And the Lord is wanting us to walk in the Spirit totally. In Romans 8, it says those that walk in the Spirit, that are filled with the Spirit, will be called the sons of God. And it is the sons of God that's going to do the greater works of Jesus. It's the sons of God that's going to deliver creation. But all of us, he says he gives us power to become sons of God, doesn't it? Becoming something doesn't mean we are now. We're children, adolescents, and growing up in the Lord. Now, in the Old Testament, in the tabernacle teaching, the outer court is the part where you get saved. The holy place is the part where you receive the Holy Spirit, get the gifts of the Spirit, and some people don't want to ever go past the first phase or the first realm in God. That's all they ever want. But some people have heard the good news about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, and when the Holy Spirit nudges them and says, come on, there's more, they go for more. But there's more than speaking in tongues, and we don't do enough of that. There's more than the gifts of the Spirit, and we have never really seen them in operation in full force, I don't believe. We prophesy in part, and we see miracles, but we're going to see greater works. And we're moving into the third realm, into the area of walking totally in the Spirit. Now, I don't understand how to get there. I have at times had the Holy Spirit come upon me like fire, inside of me blazing, outside of me blazing, and I didn't know what I did or what I prayed or what I said, but it would just be there. And when I would pray then, no matter what I prayed, the answer would come, no matter what it was. And that's what we're all seeking. And I don't know. You see, I don't know how capable we all are of that kind of power yet. We have to totally be, I think, more delivered than we are now to get that total, ultimate power where all things are possible. We know by theory all things are possible, don't we? But until we are totally cleaned out, because we might call fire down from heaven on the wrong people, you know, we have to be totally cleaned out. And then when we are, the Lord, whatever he's going to do, it's going to be so much we can't even fathom what it's going to be. But it's something we need to seek after. And in the occult line comes fortune telling. Now, this goes back for four generations. That's, 160 years? Four generations, 160 years. Now, one time Derek Prince was visiting in our house, and he said to Glenn and I, you're both under the power of a fortune teller. And I said, well, I have never been to one, but I don't want to be under the power of a fortune teller. And he asked Glenn, and Glenn said no, he'd never been to one. But when he prayed, he mentioned, if this is coming from your ancestors. Well, my parents were preachers, and I didn't know of them ever going to a fortune teller or playing around with a Ouija board or reading horoscopes or messing with astrology or ESP or any of that stuff. But when he prayed, it was like a tent lifted up and out of me, and I could hear better, see better, think better, and everything became clearer. And when he prayed for Glenn, another tent lifted off of me, like another layer, and I could see and I felt so much different and so much better. It was like I had been living all those years in a daze, in a haze, and I had. I really had, but I didn't know I was living in a haze. And a few days later, after he left our house, Glenn's mother came over, and I asked her, have you ever been to a fortune teller or anybody in the family? And she said, oh, yes, I have when I was 17 years old. And I said, did you know Brother Prince picked that up on us and we were under a curse from that? And she just hit the ceiling. She said, you tell that old Derek Prince. Now, she's a good Pentecostal, sits on the front seat, yells hallelujah, claps. And she said, you tell that old Derek Prince he don't know what he's talking about. Well, that's no way to talk about an anointed man of God, that's for sure. And when she said that, that tent came down over me again. See how powerful it is, our words? And then, oh, yeah, she said, everything's under the blood, everything's under the blood. She repeated that about three times, and if I'd have been keen enough in discerning of spirits at that time, I would have realized that was a demon talking out of her and wasn't even my mother-in-law. Well, that summer, we went back to visit my parents in northern Missouri, and we were having a big family dinner. I mean, you know, those big Missouri dinners. And all of a sudden, right out of my mouth, I said, has anybody in this family ever been to a fortune teller? And my mother said, oh, yes, I have when I was 17 years old. And I said, did you know Derek Prince picked that up on me and that I was under a curse and under that power of that fortune teller? And she said, you tell that old Derek Prince, preacher's wife now, you tell that old Derek Prince he doesn't know what he's talking about. And she said, besides, everything's under the blood, everything's under the blood, everything's under the blood. And I said, well, It was over me and in me, and I know when it left, and I felt and so on. And then my dad sort of took up on my side and started explaining it to all the relatives, and he didn't know too much about it, but he knew enough to know that it was the enemy. Now, that's just one example of fortune telling. Now, if you've ever gone to a clairvoyant, if you've ever done water witching, we're under these powers. Everything is not under the blood because we haven't known to repent about these things. Why, I could have repented. We had plenty of chances to repent in the church. We were always up at the altar crying and praying, but we didn't know that we were supposed to be repenting of the sins of our ancestors. This goes back to third and fourth generation. Incest goes back 10 generations, which is 400 years. And who knows what's happened? There's lots of skeletons in the closet in 400 years in our family line. And that's in our bloodline, and we must be delivered of those things. And once you submit yourself to God, resist the devil in those areas. And I dare say, and I believe this, you may stone me, but I believe that most people have incest in their bloodline and are under the power of some sort of the occult. Now, I don't know if everybody does, but the more I walk into deliverance and see, and the more the Lord shows me, and we pray for people, it's in almost everybody, and it isn't anything to be embarrassed about, and it isn't even anything to feel guilty about, because the Lord does not lay guilt on us. That's the devil, for sure. And there are many other things, these seances, these little slumber parties, these kids have, and they try to call up the Heath Candy Bar people brought their son here when he was how old was he? No, I mean, I know the only was 18, but I think he was about 10 years old, and they were having a seance in the basement of his house using his mother's crystal punch bowl. His mother didn't know it. They turned the bowl upside down and they did some thing that they'd read or some other kid knew about. and something came upon that kid. The punch bowl lit up and scared them so bad that he began to jerk. That evil spirit entered that child through fear when that punch bowl lit up by the enemy. And he was, when they brought him here, he was, had gone off into drugs and everything and was in a really bad shape. So these little innocent looking things, Satan does not play fair. He never has and he never will. And they cause many people terrible torment. Now that boy went through all kinds of torment. They had him to Mayo's. They had him every place. And finally the Lord came to the rescue when they heard about divine healing someplace in Florida. And he was prayed for and he was healed. But he was made fun by all the kids in school when he was in grade school and junior high and so on. All because of an innocent little thing. Hypnotism is just as bad. Don't ever let a doctor hypnotize you. Or a dentist or anybody. Or swing a pendulum in front of you or play around with those things. Or if you ever have, you need prayer. And we're going to release you this morning from bondages. Now, Ekankar, that's something kind of new. That's in the mind area. And we have a pitiful case right in this town. A beautiful girl. A doctor. She got involved through her... We have to watch all metaphysics things. They are bad. And a lot of patients, of her patients, I guess, got her involved some way. I don't know how. And that poor girl is out of her mind. And she was a beautiful organist, a beautiful singer, and a beautiful Christian. And she is out of her mind. Do you know if she's still in the hospital or not, Pat? Oh, had she with her mother. Her business, she had more business in town than any other doctor, I think. That office was constantly full, and everybody was going to have her put their backs in place, and she was very sweet and darling and lovely. And she got involved. You know, when people are seeking for more, they'll get involved in things because they think it's going to help them. And one day she came out here for prayer, and she I thought her eyes were glazed, and I thought she was acting strange. She came at noon, and in the course of the afternoon, she came back five times. She brought those Ekankar books. They were big, thick books, and Glenn and Jim burned them and put them under the caterpillar. And we prayed for her, but she would never renounce them. And she needs a lot of prayer yet today because her most insanity, I would say all insanity, comes through from the occult in the background and schizophrenia. And how many of you know people that are schizophrenics and mentally, a mental problem? Most of all those things. Levitation, table tipping. You know, a lot of, they play that, those in party games, I guess. I never have seen it done. But I know that we had a girl working for us. She had a degree in journalism. And she lived up in the Hollywood Hills. She was a proofreader and English major when we had our company. And, well, I guess it wasn't our company. We were working for another company, a job shop. But anyway, she told me that her neighbor always goes to Catherine Kuhlman's meeting. She told me at the time. But she says, when that woman came in my house the other day and started telling me about all the Catherine Kuhlman meetings, this was years ago, she said, my big table, all the pictures in my house turned over upside down immediately. And this table come and pushed this woman right out the door, my big dining room table. Now, that's called levitation. Now, that's in the worst way, isn't it, Ashley? That's real power. And that girl grew up in Africa, and I always did surmise that her parents were missionaries. She never would admit it. She seemed to know a lot about the Lord. And I am sorry that we did not know enough about deliverance, because we said, oh my, that's terrible. And, you know, we did not think, we were Christians, but we did not think in those years that we had enough power to pray for something like that. And that girl even came to our house once. We're out in Northridge from Hollywood. And I know she was seeking help, and I've often prayed for her. I don't even remember her name, but one other time, I was a supervisor in the same company, And I came back from lunch one day, and they had a Ouija board on the kitchen table. And that's the first time and only time I've ever seen a Ouija board in my life that I know about. And when I walked in, it was almost, lunch hour was almost over. And, you know, the guilt complex when the boss walks in, you're all supposed to go back to work. And so I just stood there for a minute, but I wasn't thinking about them going back to work. I was praying in the spirit under my breath. And that afternoon, they all subsided and everybody went back to their typewriters. And that afternoon, she came out and she said, "Could you come in here, please?" And when I walked in the proofreading room, she closed the door and stood against it so I couldn't get out. And she said, "We want you to tell us what you were doing to keep that Ouija board from working. You see, we have the power of God in us. We just don't understand how to let it out." And that's what you do it by doing it. You know, because the cases are so acute that they're almost, you've never heard of anything like it before. It's so bad. Some of the cases that come for private prayer, and you just, in your own self, you can't do, you don't know what to do. You don't know what to do except to pray in the Spirit. Some people have Indian blood in them, and the Indians have been sorely neglected in the gospel realm. But if you've ever been to a powwow or had a medicine man do any medical thing to you, you probably will need deliverance in that. A lot of people have spirit guides. Well, I want to be guided by the Holy Spirit, don't you? I don't want any of those. Reincarnation is another thing that's just really in the occult line. All metaphysics, handwriting analysis. Now, I'd had that done once at a fair, at the Orange County Fair in my area. And, you know, you just write in a big scrawl and they tell you all these good things. And I had that in the office desk. And after we came into deliverance, it was after we'd already sold our business and we had, our office was in the maid's quarters after we sold our business. And I walked in there one day. I said to Glenn, "Oh, my, what's in here? I feel evil in here." He said, "I just found this handwriting analysis you had done. It was in the drawer there. I had forgotten. I'd had it done years before. But see, it still held power." And I imagine every time I walked in there, that thing attacked me. But until our spiritual senses, in Hebrews, it talks about our spiritual senses being exercised. Smelling. Now, when people come up to me or I'm praying, many times I smell whatever the spirit is. My spiritual senses are being opened gradually. Sometimes you see. People may see certain things, or you may see it in the spirit, or you may actually see it on their faces, and you know right away what spirit it is that's manifesting. Magic, in the realm of magic. Rock music, of course, that's totally out. Minor chord music is totally out. We do not sing here in minor. In the minor chords, because there's nothing minor about Jesus, is there? Is there anything minor in heaven? Everything is major. The high praises of God, not the low. That came in, a lot of that came in with rock music. Sensual dancing. I'll never forget this as long as I live. We had all the chairs down, and they brought a girl here. We were praying, and she kept wiggling her legs and carrying on. And I said, "Have you done a lot of dancing?" I mean, before I could say Jesus, she jumped up and said, "Let's do the twist." And she did it. And then she did ballroom dancing. She did 20-some dances before we could get her stopped. Right out here on the floor. I mean, she had invisible partners. And they were, and she did some of it was beautiful dancing. And some of it was, say, really bad, really awful sensuality. Edgar Casey books. If you've ever read Edgar Casey books, you'll need deliverance from those. Jean Dixon, she's a soothsayer, a diviner, divination. Arthur Ford, sure she may hit it sometimes. The devil knows quite a bit, doesn't he? He listens to everything. Ruth Montgomery, Rosicrucianist, necromancy. Now this, I hope I can say this delicately. Praying to dead saints, praying to the dead. If you've ever been a Catholic, prayed to dead saints, you're involved with necromancing and need deliverance from that. That will hold you into bondage.
Uh-huh.
Well, she's already gone now. Her works are. The Mormons and the Jehovah Witnesses, if you've ever belonged. Now, by the way, most people that have been heavily involved in any church, I don't care if it's Baptist, Assembly of God, or Pentecostal, what it is, they'll need some deliverance from those doctrinal teaching that have the error part of it. I had to have an Assembly of God spirit cast out of me, even though I was born and raised in it, because I thought we were the only ones that was going to heaven. We were taught that always. We thought we were the only ones, and the Catholics think they're the only ones, and every church, I guess, think they're the only ones. So, Christian Science, Unity Churches, Baha, Theosophy, Inner Peace Movement, all of those. And one time I belonged to the Zonta Club. It's a professional women's club. And I went. I had too much work to do to bother with all those women. I didn't like it. I knew I didn't belong in there. I was a Christian, but I knew I didn't belong in there, and I was not a good Zonta Club member, and I dropped out, but I had to come against that. Now, the Masons and the Eastern Star, all of those are in the occult line, and my grandfather was a Mason, and my grandmother was an Eastern Star, so we had somebody call up here one day. I learned mostly from experience, things I experienced myself, and nobody can talk me out of it. You can't talk me out of my deliverance of the occult, because I experienced it, and I was changed, and I knew. But this Masons, well, I didn't know anything about the sins of my ancestors at that time. We hadn't had teaching as about 8 years ago, and this man called up and said, I want to be delivered from the spirit of Masonry. So I said, all right, come on over. And on a Saturday, we brought him up in our house. I don't think, maybe it was 9 years ago. I don't know if we had a building built yet. And we began to pray, and I began to cough and retch and wheeze, and I couldn't even say a word. And I finally said, you better pray for me first. And I remember when I was a little girl, I used to go to my grandfather's grocery store, and up over their store was the lodge hall. And I would want to go to lodge with them, and they'd say, no, you don't know the password. So I would wait till they go. They'd leave me with a hired help. And I'd walk around outdoors, and in those days, you were fairly safe walking around in the evening. And I would creep up those stairs real slow and real quiet, listening, trying to get the password so I could go in, because I wanted to know. You see, I had something in me, born in me now, that was interested in that. As a little girl, probably 5 years old, maybe six. And I had to be delivered. That was in me, holding me in bondage. And I praise God for all these little happenings that have so changed my life. And I want them to keep on happening. I'm sure there's a lot more we could go into, but we want to pray, because I know the girls are in the back cooking. Oh, okay. Do you want me to go into all the symptoms of whether or not any rebellion? That's number one, rebellion. Appearances, sullen, depression, gloominess, indifference. Now, you might not have all these, but if any of these are manifesting, irresponsible. Okay, rebellion, unkept appearance. And you watch the kids that start going on drugs or start drinking or start going out into the world. Pretty soon they've got the long hair, the beard, and the whole 9 yards hanging out saying, I am rebellious, and I don't care who knows it. I'm not changing my jeans, and I'm not taking a shower, and all this. Sullen, depression, gloominess, indifference, irresponsibility, unpredictable behavior. You can't tell what they're going to do next. Delusions. One thing I didn't bring up, and this might be a tedious subject too, but we've had experience, is Jesus-only spirits. That is another Jesus, and boy, we've got a tape that he manifested. I mean, he was violent. Another Jesus. The man got it when he was baptized in water and came up out of the water. He got that spirit on him. Uncontrollable passions, that's sex or any other kind of passions. Appetite, uncontrollable appetite, sexual perversions, enslavement to drugs, alcohol, tobacco, compulsive eating, uncontrollable temper, loud talking, hate, chronic fears, nerves, insanity, self-pity, abnormal desire for attention, and gambling, hearing voices. I don't know how many people call up and they're hearing voices and they can't sleep night or day. These voices are talking to them and talking to them. They're seeing apparitions. There's one couple wrote us a letter and they said their living room every night is like a hotel for animals. They see them in the spirit. They come in, dogs, cats, in the spirit now, and they lay all over the couch and all over the floor and park in the corner, and all kinds of animals come in, animalistic, bestiality spirits. Isn't that something? How would you like to have to, they can't sleep. Naturally, they can't sleep. But somebody in that family line, or else they have in their younger days, somewhere there's bestiality, unable to read the Bible or concentrate on the Bible. I know there's a lot of people who have problems like that. They'll read a whole page and wonder, what have I read now? And they have to go back and look at it again. Eternal security, all kinds of false doctrines that we can name, all kinds of marital problems, divorce, strife and discord, causing trouble in the church, all of those things all have their roots in the occult. And the Lord wants to set us free. How many want to be set free? How many have been involved in some of those things? Or you know that your answer, sure. And we don't have anything to be ashamed of. The Lord says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. And we are believing today. Now, I'll give you a little pointer before Glenn comes. Now, you men wouldn't understand this maybe, but we women understand. Deliverance is somewhat like having a baby. There is an entity in us, when the evil spirits are in us, that must come out. It's a person in there. It's a thing in there. And it must come out. With the baby, the doctors and the nurses are always running by you saying, bear down, bear down. You got to get to work. You're too slow, blah, blah. So deliverance comes the same way. It comes out your mouth, usually, in breaths. Spirit is breath. And it takes some gut level, deep breathing to open the channel so they'll start rolling out. And if you just sit there passive, and they talked about passivity last night, there's so many passive Christians, and we would do it for you if we could. And we'll do all we can. The doctor does all he can for women who are having babies, and the nurses do all they can. But the women do have to do something. And all of us as Christians have to do something. And one and the main thing, you have to repent. We have to repent of the sins of the ancestors. Repentance is not out of style. We should have all been repenting more of a lot of things that we've never repented of because we haven't known about them, a lot of things. But anyway, the blood of Jesus. In the book of Revelations, it says, we overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Now, we have had the word of my testimony this morning. We've had the word of God. And we will, before we start to pray, ask for the blood of Jesus, and you can ask for it now to cleanse you. Cleanse your sins from your ancestors that you never ever thought about before that might be there. What's it going to hurt? But it might help a lot if you do it. Some people say, I don't want to do that. I know I don't have that. When all the time they do, and that was the spirit that talked right out of them right then. See, we can't differentiate between a person too well until the gifts of the Spirit begin to operate in us, and right away you'll discern. I can discern people when they phone up now. The Holy Spirit will. I can hear it like a snake rattle, a rattlesnake. Rattling over the phone, I can hear it many times. And the Lord will prompt me or give me names, and I'll know how to pray for the people. And the Lord, we need to all move into a realm of exit, maybe tomorrow. Somebody said today there's some people here that don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and we will find time sometime to pray for you. But maybe tomorrow we can loose you so your spiritual senses will be exercised so you'll know. You know, it won't be so much guesswork to it. Okay, Glenn.
I'm going to just give us several scriptures. She was talking about addictions, drugs, and so forth. Alcohol and tobacco. She left out a couple. Maybe one day I'll get enough gumption. Coffee, Coke, Pepsi, Dr. Pepper. Do away with all the coffee urns out here and take the Coke machines off the property. Sirius. Exodus. Yes, tea and chocolate are just the same. No difference. Exodus chapter 20. Sins of our ancestors. Exodus 20. Well, I better read more than verse 5 because but she's already covered these things. But anyway, it says, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage or place of sin. And thou shalt have no other gods before me. And thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. A lot of televisions are images of God today. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord, thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and the fourth generation of them that hate me. But I'm glad that there are scriptures in the Bible that tells us that his grace and mercy is extended to 1,000 generations to those that love him. Now here this verse 6 says, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. But there are also other verses, and one that says, giving grace and mercy to 1,000 generations. Exodus chapter 34, verse 7. Keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation. Deuteronomy chapter 23. Deuteronomy 23, verse 2. A bastard shall not enter into the congregation or illegitimate child into the congregation of the Lord, even to his tenth generation shall he not enter into the congregation of the Lord. An Amorite or a Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to their tenth generation shall they not enter into the congregation of the Lord forever. 400 years. The words Amorite and Moabites, if you look it up in the dictionary will tell you that that means incest. And I also believe that it is not right for coloreds and whites to intermarry. I believe that that's incest. I believe that God intends for us to stay and be our own people in our own race, and his blessing will be upon us. I cannot agree with those who are in some of the Pentecostal churches who are marrying, intermarrying the races. I believe that they will be held accountable for that, and I believe that they will be judged for contributing to incest. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. Malachi 3:8, last book in what we call the Old Testament. I might say something about that later, but not today. This morning, anyway. Verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat for my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, and there shall not be room enough to receive it. And it goes on to say, and he will rebuke the devourer for our sake, and all nations shall call us blessed. Malachi chapter 1 and verse 4. No, I'm sorry. It's Nehemiah. No, I want some more of Malachi here. I'm not through with Malachi. Chapter 1, verse 14. But cursed be the deceiver, which hath in his flock a male, and boweth and sacrificeth unto the Lord a corrupt thing. For I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. And chapter 2, verse 1. And now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you. If ye will not hear, and if ye will not lay it to heart, to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts. I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already, because you do not lay it to heart. Now let's look at these verses I've read in Malachi just a second before we go over to Nehemiah. The Lord tells us that he puts a curse on us. If we do not give to him that portion which belongs to him, first in tithes and then in offerings. God says that he does it. Now, he says over here that we're cursed if we have an offering for the Lord and give to him something that isn't the best. The Lord requires our best for his offering. Not that we have something that isn't quite as good and we give him the least. If we do that, you're cursed with a curse. If you give something to the Lord, you give unto the Lord the very best and not something that is off color a little bit. And then he says here that if we don't give to him the glory and the praise and the thanks, we're cursed with a curse. So when we do not praise and thank the Lord for the blessings of life and for that which we have and for his care and watch over us, and not thank the Lord for it, we are cursed automatically with a curse. Now, you tell me how many of your ancestors have paid their tithes and honored God with their tithes? How many of them have given God the best? How many of them have given God the glory? Let's bring it down home. How many of us have done all of these things? We're cursed with a curse. Nehemiah chapter 1. Thank God we're coming to a revelation and understanding of the knowledge of the Lord so that we don't have to live under these things. Hallelujah. Verse 4. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days. Now he had heard that the gates and the walls of the city were burnt and destroyed. But let's see what he did. He sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. We need to learn how to fast more and more and more. And said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth both covenants and then mercy. Covenant first and then mercy for them that love you and observe your commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive and thy eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments, which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if you transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if you turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though they were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of heaven, yet I will gather them from thence and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name. Now these are thy servants and thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant, to the prayer of thy servants, for we desire to fear thy name. And I pray today that we all desire to fear the name of the Lord, and to be those who turn from the ways of our ancestors and our own ways, that God's blessing may rest upon us. Daniel chapter 9. Verse 16 of Daniel 9. O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city, Jerusalem, or the place of peace. Thy holy mountain, because of our sins and for the iniquity of our fathers, Jerusalem, the place of peace, and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Verse 20. Verse 19, O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. Daniel's praying. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake. O my God, for thy city and thy people that are called by thy name. And while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, David, Daniel, confessing and praying for his sins and the sins of the people. Let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 21. Deuteronomy 21, verse 22. And if a man have committed a sin worthy of death, and he be to be put to death, and thou hang him upon a tree, his body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day, for he that is hanged is cursed of God. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians 3:13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. Numbers 14. Numbers 14:18. The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, but by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and the fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people, according unto the greatness of thy mercy. And as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Hallelujah. Psalms 105. Psalms 105, verse 7. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He hath remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to a thousand generations, which covenant he made with Abraham and his oath unto Isaac, and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant. And Jesus is that everlasting covenant. And he became a curse so that the curses of our own doing and the curses of our ancestors can be broken from off of us. For when he hung on that tree, he made a way to bring us out from underneath the curses. Just as he made a way of salvation by his shed blood, he made a way that we can come from beneath the curses. We've been taught that we're automatically free from the curses. That's not so. That's an error in teaching. It's erroneous. Because Jesus died on the cross that all the world might be saved. But all the world is not saved. And the only way you can accept and be saved is by acknowledging and receiving the blood of the Lord Jesus for the remission of your sins. And then you will have salvation. And it's the same as likewise with the curses. We have to acknowledge that Jesus became a curse for us. And we have to accept his hanging on a tree and acknowledge that and apply that to the sins of our ancestors and our own sins so that the curses of our ancestors can be broken from off of us and our own curses can be broken from off of us and we can break the line of it and take Satan's rights away so that he has no right to us or to our ancestors and we can set them free and start coming out from underneath us the curses that are visited upon us because of our sins that are there because the Word of God says so. We automatically receive the curses when we disobey God's word and do contrary to his word. We automatically get the curses. So when we obey God's word, we get the blessings. And then we have to realize that there is a way, but we have to appropriate that way and we have to apply it to our hearts and lives and we have to use it so that those curses can be broken from off of us. Now, this morning, we're going to pray to that end. In the occult realm of our ancestors, the sins of our ancestors, and our own sins in the occult realm, in the realm of not giving God the glory, and that's the worst of all, not giving to God the glory. and not giving to God that which belongs unto Him, and not giving God the best that we have for His namesake. And we're going to pray this morning and ask God to cleanse us and to set us free. Okay? Let's stand. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Lord Jesus. 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 I'm going to stand here and I'm going to pray on behalf of all of us, myself included, this morning. In fact, I'm going to ask you all to pray with me, just a short prayer here, and then I'll continue to pray. Pray with me. Father, we come, or I come, in Jesus' name, thanking you for the provision that you've made for me and my family to come out from beneath the curses that are visited upon me and my family because of the sins of my ancestors and my own sins. And I thank you for the blood that cleanseth and washes me. Forgive me for my sins in these areas and the sins of my ancestors that I am carrying. And I thank you for it. And I thank you, Father, that Jesus consented to become a curse so that these curses could be lifted from off of me. I thank you, Father, that by His shed blood, I have remission of sins. And Him becoming a curse on the tree, I have authority in His name to break the power of these curses from off of me and my heritage in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for the authority that you've given unto us. And in Jesus' name, I take dominion this morning over the powers of Satan, and I bind them. In Jesus' name, thank you for the angels of the Lord to come and bind these spirits and take them and keep them until you judge them. And in Jesus' name, I come against the spirits of poverty. In Jesus' name, that's caused because we have not given unto thee that portion which belongs unto you. I break the curse of poverty from off of these people and from off of myself, and I loose us from it in Jesus' name. Father, I break the power of not giving to you the glory, the curse of it, and I loose these people from the curse of it. Because Jesus became a curse, so we don't have to bear the curse. Father, I've loosed these people from that curse in Jesus' name, and I set them free. I break the power out from off of our ancestors, from off of our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren. I loose them from it in Jesus' name, and I thank you for that authority. In Jesus' name, come off of these people. Set them free today. You spirits of the occult, you spirits of witchcraft and sorcery and occult, I bind your power and I break the powers of it. I break it back for 30 generations, and I loose these people from it in Jesus' name. Spirits of incest, I break your power for 30 generations back from over these people, and I loose them from it, from the spirit of incest, and I break the curse of it from off of these people in Jesus' name. I loose them from it in the name of the Lord. Homosexuality and lesbianism, I break those powers from off of these people. I loose them from it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, I thank you for that authority and that dominion, and I break the powers of it from off of us in Jesus' name. And I thank you for it, Father. I praise you for it. Now, Father, forgive us, and I thank you that you have, because we've not given unto you that portion which belonged to you. And, Father, we've not been faithful in doing that. Father, help us from this day forward to be faithful, Lord, so that your blessing will rest upon us, and the anointing of the Holy Ghost shall flow through us, and we shall be a blessing and not a curse to those about us. And they shall see the glory of the Lord that comes forth because of your anointing and your blessing upon us. And because we prosper in thee, not because we need to prosper, but because you make us prosper, so that we are an example before men that Jesus is a reality in our hearts and lives, and that he cares and watches over us,
and is our stay, and I thank you and I praise you for it, Father. Now, Father, I thank you for your anointing and the presence of the Lord to rest upon these people. I thank you, Lord, for opening up their understanding and our understanding to your word. Help us, Lord, to put it in our hearts and to apply it to our everyday life and make it a reality in our hearts and lives. And I praise you for it, Father. These things, Lord, that have come to us the hard way, help us, Lord, to be able to reveal them to others so that they will be able to walk in these things and they'll make them part of their lives so that they are a glory and an honor unto thee and a blessing to their home and a blessing to their fellowship and a blessing to those about them so that they are able to set the captives free in Jesus' name and become deliverers on Mount Zion, walking in holiness and righteousness before thee, moving by thy Spirit, declaring that thou, you are Lord of their lives and their homes, and I praise you for it in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for blessing the food. Make it to our strength, to our health, and to all of our flesh. Bless those who have prepared it, and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. You're dismissed, and I think that they're about ready to serve us. As soon as they open the door there, why, we'll be served. See you at 2:30 this afternoon.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.